Today is January 21st, 2021. This is our fifth call in our practical application series. This is call number 5 of 6. And let's begin in Shavasana as we do each week. And I can tell you that for those of you who are here for Influence a Story on Tuesday, I'm like, I want the Shavasana even more than I want that. I want it for you too, but just to find that alignment for me, I've got so much I want to share with you today that I want to peel myself off the walls and off the ceiling so that I can be of service to you. So let's take this time to come into alignment. You can be in a seated meditation or lying in Shavasana. If you're lying down, have some support beneath the head and neck. If the back isn't comfortable, place something beneath the legs so your back is comfortable. Be in a place where no one will disturb you. If you're seated, either way, seated or lying down, make sure you're in a place where the heart center can be open. So lifting up through the sternum bone in a seated position, both seated or lying, shoulders not rounded forward, but roll the shoulders back and down, open the heart. Scan the body for any tension. Where you find tension, breathe into that spot and let it go. If you haven't already done so, softly close the eyes. Let go of whatever came before in your day. Letting go of activities, people, knowledge, circumstances. All that's past. Let it go. Let go of whatever's to come in your day today. It's not here yet. Nothing you can do about it right here, right now, other than practice being present. So you'll be present then too. It's the best thing that we can do to create a powerful future is to be here now. Take this time for yourself. Relax the shoulders. Relax the throat. Swallow to relax any tension in the throat. Let the tongue rest gently in the bottom of the mouth. Create spaciousness in the mouth. And can you notice how that's related to releasing tension in the abdomen? When we let the mouth be spacious, the abdomen releases too. Our body is connected. Soften the cheeks and jaw. Relax the eyeballs. Soften the skin of the scalp. Relax the space between the eyebrows. Let the eyes sink back toward the back brain, letting the mind become quiet. Watch the breath. If you find your mind wandering, as mine will, gently, without judgment, let that thought go. Belongs to the past or the future. It's not important right now. Return your focus to the breath. Feel the quietness of this moment here and now. And then letting go of Shavasana or your meditation just as easily as you moved into it. Allow the breath to deepen. Place a hand somewhere on the torso. Feel the gentle movement of breath. If you're in Shavasana, bend your knees. Slowly roll to the side and in your own time, come out. If you're seated in meditation, softly open the eyes and return to our virtual circle, camera on whenever possible, so that we can be present here and now. We practice it. It's many, many hours of practicing presence when you come here week by week, camera on without distractions. That alone is a life-changing and company-changing move. So great to see you arriving back here. Let's hear from one or two of you. Sometimes there's a million things in our lives that we don't like. If we pay attention to any of them, we distract ourselves. If we can continually turn, there's whatever's going on, but I loved this. We train our focused attention and it starts to be all we can see. And the ratio changes too. There becomes more and more things in that pile of things we love, and the things we don't love, we don't even see them, or we see the best aspects of them. What did you love in this Shavasana, this meditation today? Who would like to share? Who would like to share first? Anne, thank you.
For me, it's helps me separate my morning from the first this part of the day to the rest of the day or to this moment. And I feel like it collects me a little bit and gets me grounded for trying to listen better.
It collects me. Oh, wow.
I'm echoing again.
So, Anne, mute. Not sure why the echoes come, but yeah, it seems to be coming when your line is open. I'm not sure why. So, but I love what you said. It collects me, gets me grounded. And one of the things I was saying to one of my accountability partners yesterday was that my yoga practice has not been as good as it often is in this last month. I mean, a lot of profound transition. I'm doing other self-care practices, but and for us here, that's Shavasana. It is life-changing. I had my best yoga practice this morning in a long, long time. And it's life-changing. It has me see different things. I have new insights. I understand better what it is that I'm doing and what matters to me. So I love this, and it collects me. It gets me grounded. Yes, beautiful. Let's hear from one more person. What did you love in this Shavasana today? Every single time, or this meditative practice for you. Every single time we're adding on another piece. Who would like to share next? And notice how you're being. Like when I used to teach university, sometimes my students would start to, you know, rustle and get restless a little bit, especially, you know, like there's less restlessness here than with, you know, teaching 18, 19, 20 year olds. You know, they'd go, oh my goodness, there's like 20 seconds of silence. And I just want you to notice how you're living in that moment. How you do anything is how you do everything. In that space, you're going, oh no, should I be speaking? Is it somebody else's turn? Is this worthy of being spoken? Maybe somebody else has something else to say. I'm not sure that I have something that I love in that show. Like, we call it monkey mind, right? How did you live those 20 seconds? It's probably how you're living the rest of your day. Are you just in that silence? You had the possibility of just actually enjoying that. It's like, wow. How often do we get a silent moment, or is our mind so full that none of that was enjoyed? Just notice. That might be your most important take home for today. So who would like to share? Marie, thank you.
Any invitation to stillness is a lovely thing. And it reminded me of a poem by Mary Oliver. I can't remember the name of it. No, I think it's just called Today, and the final line is something like Stillness, a Doorway to the Temple. And it's like, yeah, that's kind of how it felt.
Stillness, a Doorway to the Temple. And the funny thing is, you can Google that. You can find lots of teachings on it. Some of you have, maybe even all of you have some practice in stillness outside of here previously. And it doesn't matter how many times we know about it, we think about it, we envision it, we know it's a good thing to do. It's the doing of it. It's the doing of it. It's the actual doing of it. And we have an opportunity here every single week to practice it and recall its power and to return ourselves to it. Thank you, Marie. I love that. Anything else? But this is practical applications. Get results with our words. The words, the deepest words, always come from that stillness, always come from that silent place. They don't come from that monkey mind. We can't even hear ourselves think, much less know what to say to another human being to move them to action, to help them uplift themselves to whatever it is that we're trying to get across, right? Anything else wanting to be said, just creating a space for that so that our minds, if anybody's mind is pulling off in this direction, it's hard for us to hear. Anything else that you're wanting to say? Andrea, thank you.
I found the line where you said that thought is either the past or the future and it's not right now. That's really powerful to me and something that I want to pull into my every moment.
Thank you for noticing that, because I say sometimes you're going to hear some of the same words and then some different ones each time. There's going to be slight variations, and there's endless variations of how we can find a path toward that stillness, toward that silence. Thank you for noticing that one. I have not mentioned that in many, many weeks, I don't think, but it's always true. That thought is, what didn't I do? Maybe I should have done it a different way. Oh, you know, I've got to pick up from that thing that I did before. It's like, it's always something other than this moment. Or this afternoon, I got to go pick this up. I wonder if that client will say this. It's like, blah, 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 blah. Right? Thanks for sharing, mind. And if it's happening in that moment of Shavasana, it's happening when we're sitting with somebody else in a strategy session, for instance. It's happening when we're on stage. It's happening when we're writing copy. It's happening when we're talking to our kid or our mother or our grandmother or our neighbor. It's happening when we're talking to team. So what would it be to practice here to actually be radically present? And to notice when it's flying off in that direction, flying off in that direction. And the more we do this practice, the more we start to notice the themes too. Major shifts came in my life when I started practicing breath work, which is built on this quiet practice. Then the next stage is breath work daily in 2006. And in 2006, I started hearing, oh my goodness, that thought again, that thought again, that thought again, that thought again. And it triggered massive change in my life and massive action that radically changed the conditions of my life, because I started hearing where I was actually living. If that makes sense to you, raise your hand. Did you get that? Let me start hearing where I'm actually living, and then I can make a choice. And that subtle energy of last week, we were talking about sales, like holding space for another in that kind of conversation requires absolute presence. Requires that we hear them without our own stuff in the way, requires non-attachment. It requires much of us, but it also creates much in us for our lives. So the profound importance of this practice to find those words in sales, in networking, and everywhere else in our lives. Thank you for that. Thank you, Andrea. Beautiful. All right. Anything else wanting to be said, bubbling up? Okay, thank you. So I think, did I print them off? I hope I did. Yes, I did. Came out stapled in upside down. I was just before the call, I'm sorry, I was a couple minutes late again today. I seem to be having a habit of that. I need to change that. And it's happening out of good intentions too. It's like, oh, I want this for you and that for you and one more thing. So. Clearly, I need to change that. It comes out of deep, deep heart to serve. I have to tell you, there's nowhere else that I'm focused except you as I'm coming into this call. All right, couple of announcements. Let me see. Our next call, our next and last in this series, is next Thursday, same time, same place, January 28th at 12:30 Mountain Time. And so we have some really key pieces to cover next week about, you know, how we take this into those places of further away. What do we do? What do we say online? What do we, actually, let me see if I can get this in front of, I just wanted to let you know here what this last call is about. We have a couple of modules. Do I have those words in front of me? I wasn't planning to tell you that. No, I don't have them easily in front of me, but you know, what is it that we, how do we bring those words online, and what are all the other places where we need those words, you know, from a team to joint venture partners to wherever it is. Also, if you have a question about one particular area where you want powerful words, please make sure to post those questions in the Facebook page, because it's our last class in the series and there's a multitude of other places where we use our words. I've focused on some of the key areas. If we don't know how to talk network, we don't know how to talk to one person. I'm like, I don't know. There's no way we can build the Facebook ads, for instance. Maybe you have a particular interest in Facebook ads or short videos or whatever it is, or talking to a team, or how I find a joint venture partner, or how I find a team behind me, even if I don't have the money to invest in a team member. How do people volunteer? How do you gather that energy behind you? What are ways that you can use powerful words in teaching? How do I build a 5-module class? I mean, there's so many other places where we use our words. Your questions will drive that class. I've got some next areas that I would, what words do I want for the financial aspects of my business, right? How do I speak to my bookkeeper, and how do I speak to myself about the financial part of my business, about profit? So many more places. What matters most to you? If you name it for me, we will go there. We'll make sure we go there, and I will, you know, that will change the structure of the pieces that we go to. So please make sure, remember to post your questions. Just one more a date that I want to mention for those of you in the Love Your Words, Love Your Life, the our year-long community. We have our Sales a Story workshop on Thursday, February 4th. So make sure you set aside your day for that. That is what we're doing here in just a few minutes. We expand out to an entire a couple of days, one in February and one a couple of months later. So please make sure you have that on your calendar. People have come to this and it's changed their lives. It's like, come to this this one day, and here's a $10,000 program that I've been wanting to do for years and don't know how to do it, and I've been working toward it, and then 4 days later actually landing that sale, or not even having anything to sell and not even imagining that they do, and people have sold a $2,500 package the very next day. And it's, I mean, happens regularly just with that one day. So please make sure you've got it on your calendar. All right, let me see. So and thank you, Yvonne. I saw the note. Thank you. Remind me if I forget, if you think of it. Thank you. All right. Announcements. Review. I just want to go a kind of rapid fire, remind you of some places that we've been, because we've traveled a long ways. This doesn't replace where we've been, but just some of the language that we use here at practical applications. So moving from close in to far away our full day influence a story on Tuesday, one of you said, oh my goodness, I didn't really understand that until just right now. And this is entirely changing my business. So it means more than we sometimes think. Sometimes we need to hear it a few times and understand how it works on the court. And it's a game changer, right? Starting close in, and this course is designed in that way, starting close in networking, for instance, not starting with Facebook ads and websites where a lot of people start. Yes, Dottie.
I just share real quickly a miracle. I just got the shot for the virus. And I was told by a neighbor at 9:30 my time. It's now, I got in home in my house at 11:33. So within 2 hours, I called the hospital. They told me you need a chart. My neighbor had lied. So when I talked to the hospital, I said, I'm not going to lie. But I'm 75. Is there any way I can get the shot? I'm really nervous about it. And He said, you know, for not lying, I'm going to tell you how to do it. And he told me how to do it. And within 2 hours, I was with the, had the call of the hospital, went through and got my shot in 2 hours.
Dottie, I'm so happy for you. Congratulations.
Thank you so much. I really am, I have been really paranoid about this.
And what makes me so happy about this, I'm so happy for you on so many levels, but these are words that have power. Do you get this? It's when I say that this is, you know, teaching about networking, about sales, about speaking, about what to do online, about, you know, finding our ideal client and what our offer is and so on. But what we're learning here has applications far beyond what we have the chance to say explicitly. Here's one example. And Dottie, can I share what you shared about being a person of influence now in another community? Can I share that briefly? All right. So it's like, Dottie said, like, I don't know what happened, but now I joined a community about speaking. And so everybody's looking to me. Everybody's looking to me as an influencer, and the leader is saying, Dottie, what do you think? It's like, and how did that happen? And I'm so proud of you, Dottie. You know, you put the work in. It's every single piece that we do, both in this course and then all year long. It's like going from not being heard at all, really, right?
Yes.
Having words that have impact, words that have power. This is why we are here. Thank you, Dottie. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. So starting close in to far away, one of our principles here, the four principles of persuasion. Remember that starts like, why did Dana get up and cross the room? We did a deep day-long dive about influence's story for those who were here on Tuesday. But the basics for us here, that acronym REAL, relationship, empathy, add word skill, love the genre. We gave some fabulous examples of word skill in very particular ways we can use that on Tuesday. So for those of you who are in the year long, if you weren't able to be there live, make sure you catch that. It's a deep, deep dive. Also some expansions around love the genre and other structures that we need to be aware of for our words. But for us here, that principle real, relationship, empathy, add word skill, love the genre. Networking personalities to emulate and avoid. These practices don't go away just because we are not focused on that right now. A great exercise would be to, next time you're networking, for me that's tonight, just to playfully notice, which one of these did I do? Was I ever, and which one of these did I notice? Go back to them. None of these are once and done. They're to go back to and play with and notice. It's like, oh, was I being robotic this time around? Was I not listening to anybody? Was I so wrapped up in something going on inside me that I couldn't hear anybody, et cetera? So going back to these, the seven principles of networking magic and networking do's and don'ts. If you have not read through these and played with these and been on a call with somebody else about these, I encourage you to do so, because every single one of them has the power to move the needle. And the way that we heard Dottie here, actually being heard, or the example I've often given, one of our grads who nobody was listening to, and the next time three people at the table were asking for her card from the principles that we follow here. 10 keys to great speaking. So go over to Story Freedom Academy. And I think it was it with these, Marie, that you were going, oh my goodness, these aren't just for speaking. These are for our lives, right? So, let me just give you one more of them. Ho-hum. I went into a deep dive, a little bit deeper dive last time around just that, those two words. There's that one word, ho-hum. It went a little bit deeper last time. Let me just give you a little deeper around that. So what? And you can ask me questions about any of these. Again, at university, sometimes I spent, you know, half an hour and something I'll teach you in just a few seconds, you know, a minute here, right? There's greater depth behind each one of these. Ask questions. So ho-hum, people come, they're bored, they're not paying attention. How can we grab their attention right away? If we don't do that, they're not going to hear what comes next. And Jamie is like working those first two lines of your talk. We did a lot of work with that this summer, right? Imagine they're not paying attention and where's their mind? We're going to do a deeper dive into that today with sales, but we have to meet them where they are. So ho-hum, grab their attention. For talk, so what? We want to keep asking this question both throughout the talk and particularly at the end. So these are in those 10 keys to great speaking, just one line from it. Just says, ho-hum, so what, right? But just that one line. If we don't answer the question, so what, by the end of the talk, That's what they're going to be asking. They're going to walk away. They don't care. So we want to ask it so that they're not asking it. So let me give you an example again from my talk, my signature talk, Stories That Sell. And the structure of that talk is, you know, you're having trouble selling. You know that you're meant for more and you know story has something to do with it. Come to the talk and I'll show you how to find stories that sell. That's the problem that I'm solving. PSPS is another thing from the 10 Keys to Great Speaking. So there's a problem they come in with. The solution is, here's the three keys you need to know about story. And I gave you my storyboard. Remember, stories are everywhere. Everywhere. When people understand that, it changes their world. And then it encourages a conversation because there's nobody else on the planet doing it like this. Dottie, if you could mute your line, please. The remaining problem. Well, and stories are everywhere. They're empowering, disempowering stories, and you can choose. Now, I can teach you the principles about story, but the problem that's remaining, so, you know, somebody might go, so what? You know, okay, stories are everywhere, whatever. Can you see that? Like, that's the mindset, and in your field as well. Okay, great, stories are everywhere, but who cares? I got this other stuff to do. I'm out of time. I have a team to talk to. I've got to build my business. I want to build profitability, whatever, Michelle. Are you with me so far? I'm helping you understand this, just this one word, these two words, so what? So what? This is a nice talk, Michelle, so what? If stories really are everywhere, they're empowering, disempowering stories, and you can choose. I don't know how to help you choose if I don't get to hear your stories. This is an answer to the question, so what, right? It's also the remaining problem for them. And there are stories that you don't even know about because a lot of them are unconscious, that are blocking your success, that are making you work too hard. And I don't know. I actually genuinely don't know what area it's in until we have a conversation. So what? Your company could be blocked in ways that you don't even know. And one conversation could make the difference for you between a year that doesn't work for you in 2021 and a truly outstanding year. What if one conversation could make that difference? Can you see now it's starting to answer that question, so what? And also how just even two of the principles on that sheet are related. Ho-hum, so what? And problem solution. So every single one of the resources that I've given you here, there's nothing extra. And every single one of them has a possibility to move the needle. So just a couple of keys from that 10 Keys to Great Speaking and taking it a little deeper for you. The speaker storyboard versus my speaker one sheet. And you can model both of those. I remember Andrea saying last time, it's like, oh, that happens to me often, right? You know, people go, wow, that was great, but they don't take the next step. Because if I structure my talk, just answering all their questions, they're full. Great, thanks, I love you. And there's nothing more. So we need to structure by beginning with the end in mind, what step do we want them to take? And this talk is structured differently than simply answering their top of mind questions. And if you line up my storyboard and my speaker one sheet, you can model both for in your area. Use the 10 Keys to Great Speaking to build your talk. This is how we build a talk that can make $10,000, $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 and more, even when you can't sell, even in a short talk. This has been done over and over and over again, right? So sales. Last time we got to sales, so we went networking. You know, what are the principles of words that have impact, right? Then let's start close in with networking. We moved to speaking, then we moved to sales. So last time we were talking about sales, and one of the things I underlined is sales are the core of your business. To have that mind shift, because sometimes you go, oh, you know, I love my thing, but I hate the sales part. That's just that part that I got to do over there. Can we change that story inside of us to recognize that sales is at the core and to allow myself to know that's a really exciting place. That's the cutting edge place. That's where I'm holding space for that human being in front of me who might take a leap and actually change their lives and change their world by the work that we do together. First, I got to really believe in my own work and know that it makes a difference, right? I'm assuming that's so. And if that's not so, we need to work on that, right? But assuming I've got something and I know it in my bones, it really makes a difference. Sales, that's that place where I'm holding that space for that person in sometimes in a way that they've never been held before. in a place where they're scared, a place where they've got an issue, a place where there's a problem, where their life is stuck. And I'm there in service to help them make a decision that is life-changing. What could be better than that? If that makes sense to you in the way that I just portrayed it right here, right now, raise your hand. It's not just the sales part. And if I don't embrace sales, then I have a hobby, not a business. So sales at the heart of our business. And then also, remember the piece I did about the $1 widgets versus like, what if I have a $100,000 program, right? Whether I want to make a six-figure business, seven-figure business, whatever it is. All the headaches in the front end, all the rewards in the back end. With a $1 widget, I got to go find a million people if I'm trying to build a seven-figure company, for instance. That's a lot of work with a lot of people who are going, man, this is only worth 67 cents, not 99 cents. I want my 97 cents from a back order, right? Because they're only invested 97 cents worth. We use that word invested, right? Whereas at the high end, people are invested in both senses of the word. They're invested with their dollars. They're invested with themselves in the work that we do, and they actually get the transformation. Why wouldn't we want to work there and build our companies from there? Start at the high end, right? So many people teach about the funnel. My teacher, Alex Mendosian, said it stopped him from building his seven-figure company for 3 years. He was delayed 3 years. And everybody in the audience went like, oh, cry me a river, Alex, whatever. Right? But he said, no, you're not understanding. It was 3 years of struggle and effort and wrong and a lot of people that I could help that I didn't. Because I was doing this 97-cent thing and then the $1.90, you know, and then the $97 thing, then the $2.97 and thinking they had to work their way up the scale. What if people could dive in at the top end? And then we build the company from there. If we can understand what serves that high-end client, won't we understand so much better our 97-cent thing anyway? Right? So again, a mindset shift around sales. To start, and again, if you're in the year-long, if you're on the year-long journey in February, we're going to do a deep dive. It's like, how could you do that, you know, tomorrow? And if you haven't done that already, how could you do that tomorrow? If you're already doing it, you have a $2,500 offer or a $5,000 offer, a $10,000 offer. What if it could be a $20,000 offer, a $50,000 offer, a $100,000 offer? More and more ideal client, more and more investment, more and more fun, right? More and more service to the planet. So I'm super excited about having that deep dive with you for that day. All right. So we were talking about sales last time. We're going to continue that and then talk about our ideal client today. All right. Let me see. I want to add a couple more training pieces around sales. And then I want to address a question on the table, and I want to add a couple pieces that I promised you but haven't done yet. Right? If I ever do that, remind me, ask me a question about it. You said, because I forgot a piece. I introduced it. If you listen to that recording, I totally forgot about Uncle Bob again. All right. So review about sales. Seven keys to sales offer. We need to know what it is we want to offer. And we'll do more work about that today. All right. Second, I mentioned this, the value. We need to know in our bones the value of our offer. We're going to start at the high end, but we go, well, I don't know if it's worth it. Well, I don't know. You should go to somebody else. It's like, there's no way to get there. When we know, like we know that this thing is worth breath itself, it's easy to have those conversations. How could we not? And when somebody doesn't step forward and they really could use the work, I just feel sad for them. Really, I do, you know, because I know they had an opportunity to change their life and just hope that they will find that somewhere else. You know, it's so much easier. I'm trying to sell something. I'm just trying to hold space for somebody. It's easy. Number three is to listen, ask questions and really listen. Who are they? What do they need? And the piece about finding our ideal client will help us with that. Number four, the thing we're listening for is pain in our area. What's hurting inside them? What is it that they want and need? Ask questions that lead to the finding out whether they have pain in our area and how deep it is and what else it affects. Wow, you know, let's say you do speaker training and wow, so you've done 54 talks this year and you haven't made any money yet, right? Wow, that hurts. Where else do you think there's a ripple effect in your, wow, you know, I'm having fights with my husband all the time because he's saying I'm like going to all these talks and he's wondering, you know, whatever, right? And where else? Well, I don't feel good about myself. Where else? Well, it's hitting my bottom line and I want to take my kid to go to college, but I can't afford, right? What's the pain and what's the ripple effect? That's number four. Number five, let them step in. We're not trying to sell something. We're just letting them hear the pain. Eventually it'll start turning to hope, right? Let the conversation let you, wow, there's that wrong and there's that wrong. Well, what if I could change that? Because it doesn't, isn't that natural human being that starts to go like, oh my goodness, I really need this to change. The conversation itself will start to turn for really listening to them. Let them step in. Do you have, you know, you can ask, do you have any questions? Sometimes people say no, because they're like so immersed in both the pain and then the hope, the possibility that we take them to, right? Well, would you like to know how to make this change? Yes, tell me. Great. Let me tell you about what it is that I suggest, right? So let them step in. It's not pushing. Number six was the big why, not objections. Don't worry about objections. Objections come like, oh, I don't have enough money, when they haven't seen the value. Or I got to talk to my spouse because really I'm not sure about it yet. What's their why? What do you see as possible for you in doing this work together when it started to turn to hope, right? Wow, this, that, right? And number seven, unattached, be unattached to the outcome. The yogis teach this. Do your duty, be unattached to the outcome. They, you know, sometimes I'm like, I feel bad for that person. I try my best to not feel this way or that way. It's up to them. Unattached to the outcome. They say yes, they say no, they throw tomatoes, they hug you, you know, right? Not attached, because it's not about us, it's about them. All right. So those are those seven keys from last time, just a bit of a review and maybe a bit more detail. And I just wanted to add a couple of extra helpful phrases in and around sales. I'm not much for formulas, you know, right? But a really great way to start a conversation at the beginning is at the beginning of a strategy session, that's that place where we're holding space for somebody where they might take a step in. Right. And I referred to last time's call. I'm not going through all the things that we did last time. A great question to ask, what made you decide to invest your time to talk to me about X today, whatever your X is, you know, having a better relationship with your horse today? What had you invest your time? What made you decide to invest your time to talk to me about your writing today? What made you invest your time to talk to me about your upcoming event today? You know, whatever it is, your area, right? Because they're already making decisions. What made you decide? Later on, they might, if they're an ideal client, potential ideal client, you're going to make an offer. And right away, they're already noticing that they're making decisions. They decided to be here. Deciding isn't new to them, right? What made you decide to invest your time? They're already investing. They're already deciding and investing. What made you decide to invest your time to talk to me about this thing today? Great opening question. Then at the beginning, a great question at the end. And this, I want to credit my dear friend, Jennifer Deep Stratton. She does, you know, a whole year-long sales training program. I'm on her training team on that campus, another part of the work that I do. And I just, there's something that she teaches so many things, but this is one of the things I love. And with credit to her, whatever they say their pain is, right? And then they say, wow, I really want to have, I just want my, you know, horse to start bucking me, stop bucking me off. Or I want to feel more connected with my horse. Or, you know, I want to feel like at my event, I'm not the one doing everything all myself. When I have copy written for me, I want it to feel like it's coming, it's heart-centered, but it never hasn't felt that way before. When I'm marketing, I want to be really feeling really connected to people. When I'm writing, I want it to come to my, whatever it is, all right? When I'm serving my clients, I want to feel in relationship from them, that in relationship to them, and really serve and tell them how much I love and support them without it coming out of my skin, you know, Jamie, right? So at the end, well, remember when you said you wanted in their own language, right? That you wanted to really have people feel connected to you, but not having it come out of your own skin. Remember when you said that you wanted an event where you knew things were just taken care of by your team and not feel so exhausted during it? Remember when you said you wanted X, Y, Z? in their language? Well, that's what I do. That's exactly what I do. Would you want to know how, right? That thing that you said you're asking for in their language, that's what I do. That's exactly what, would you want to see how that works? All right. So I just wanted to teach you a couple of helpful phrases. You can work them in any way that you want. I want to teach you a couple threads that we haven't got to yet. Uncle Bob in 2 minutes that I usually at the university would teach in 2 hours. The $50 game. And I did talk about where to find strategy sessions. We'll talk about that a little later in the call. All right. The strategy sessions are so important, whatever we call them, doctor's visits, strategy sessions, discovery calls. I don't call it free coaching. It's not free coaching, right? It's a deciding what your best next step is. That's different than free coaching. Don't try to coach. Just trying to, the focus is to see what the best next step is, right? So we'll talk about where to find strategy sessions later, but I want to teach those couple pieces that we still had hanging there. So I know there's a little bit of bits and pieces happening right now. Are you guys still able to track with me on these? I'm just giving some helpful hints. Okay, thanks. You're still with me. All right. So Uncle Bob. How to teach this in 2 minutes. Give me a second. Going slowly to go quickly here. I used to teach this as a story to my students at the university, and it still feels so relevant here. And sometimes it's even easier to hear it over there and then bring it over here, because when it's in our own field, it's hard to hear. Students come into the university, they're all, you know, scrambling for tuition, they're broke. So I would teach them the core of persuasive writing by telling them a story about Uncle Bob. Imagine an Uncle Bob. You've got an Uncle Bob. It was a lot of fun in the classroom too, because I'd say, like, who actually, there'd be somebody who has an Uncle Bob, would use those characteristics so they could actually envision him, right? Let's say he's your only hope for you continuing on at college, you know, because you just don't have any money to go to college. You want to get him to send you the money to go to college. How are you going to do that? Oh, by the way, he hates you. Right? So imagine that scenario. If we could do it there, we could do it anywhere, right? Well, you know, I could tell him that I want to be a doctor and doctors are really important. I could tell him that I want to be a chiropractor. I'm going to be the best engineer on the planet. Isn't that nice? I'm like, he doesn't care. He doesn't care. Why should he care? That's what you care about. What does he care about? And this would be a 2-hour teaching. I'm giving you the fast forward version. We'd have a whole bunch of characteristics of Uncle Bob. We have a whole bunch of possible arguments, right? But isn't it true that the more we know about Uncle Bob, the more we'll be able to tell him, like, to create that argument or that, say those words that might land for him? Maybe Uncle Bob is a huge philanthropist. He doesn't like me, for instance. He doesn't like us. But he's a huge philanthropist and he has a huge heart for horses. And I'm looking up at you, right? Mary Kay, I'm looking at you, right? He's a huge heart for horses because in his youth, he was always misaligned and horses helped him feel aligned. And maybe the thing is you want to be a veterinarian. Great. Uncle Bob, I just want to take care of horses. Isn't that what you'd say? Do you know? Only if it's truthful. You're not going to lie. Uncle Bob, I want to be a veterinarian. I know you care about horses. I care about all animals, but here's what I want to do for horses, right? Maybe he hates horses. That wouldn't be the best argument, would it? Right? Maybe all he cares about is what your Aunt Betty says. And really, it's going to be her decision. So aren't we going to think more about what, because maybe she has, you know, afternoon tea with her friends, or maybe she's like maybe she owns a 7-figure company and you want to go into business. I've always looked up to Aunt Betty, and I know it's hard to be an entrepreneur, but I saw her do this, that, and that, right? Can you see that what I'm going to say really depends on who's in front of me, in this case, Uncle Bob. I've really got to think about him. And it depends on the purpose. Now, the purpose for me, I might want him to send me money, is going to feel very different from the purpose for him of the conversation. He doesn't care about sending me money, but he might care about Aunt Betty being happy. So the purpose is more complex than we think. What's the actual purpose of the words we're saying? And who are we talking to? That's the 3-minute version of a 2-hour training. I want you to always remember Uncle Bob. If you could be that college student getting Uncle Bob to send you the money, then the next time you're talking to your team or your daughter or your potential client, could we actually listen to them from a heart-centered, real place? We're not making stuff up. We're not going to say, I'm going to spend all my time being a veterinarian taking care of horses if we're really going to become a dentist. You know what I'm saying? Like, that doesn't really work. Or it might even work in the short run, but it's going to backfire in the long run. We won't have a good life. It's just like not the way we do, right? Truthfulness. Truthfulness, but there are different stories we could tell about the why that we're doing. And we'll find the real, truthful, resonant one that aligns with them, right? So that's Uncle Bob. Another little piece that I left hanging is the $50 game. Maybe you go, I love what I do, but I hate the sales part. Lots of different ways. Like, we can, like, if we're not having fun, we're not doing it right. Oh, okay, well, I got to get to the sales. Well, and oh no, somebody might say no, I might get rejected, so I don't want to do it. So here's one of many, many fun games you can play with yourself, right? So this is, a friend of mine used to do this all the time because those no's are hard to get, so we don't want to do it. So we start gathering the no's. Every time somebody says no to us, we get to put $5 in our pocket, right? Every time, say, you could do it, or every time I have a strategy session, I could put $5 in my pocket. You'll play it any way you want. And then by the time I've got $50, I get to go spend it on something for myself. Well, games you can play to incentivize yourself, to let it be fun, to let it be playful, to let it be a game. Sandra Yancey used to play that game. She called it the Q-tip game. It was different, but same idea. You know, when people say no, Q-tips stood for quit taking it personally. And her mentor taught her to put Q-tips. I've never done this, but you could try this out. And so I like the idea. I've employed the idea of it. I have not actually done it myself, but I'm passing on to you. I love the idea. She put 10 Q-tips, you know, taped around her computer or whatever, right? And she could not end her day until she'd removed all 10 Q-tips from around the computer. And it was probably not a computer in those days. It was many years ago, but 10 Q-tips. Every time somebody said no to her, she could take off one Q-tip, quit taking it personally. And she couldn't end her day until all 10 Q-tips were gone. 10 calls. You could be 10 calls a day, 10 calls a week, 10 calls in the morning. I don't know. Quit taking it personally. And the thing is, like, as she removed those Q-tips, it got harder and harder to get to those 10 because more and more people were saying yes because she was practicing and on the court. More conversations we have, the easier it gets because we start to listen and know what, we start to hear that person better, right? So those are some of the remaining pieces. Those couple helpful phrases, what made you decide to invest your time to speak with me about X today? Remember when you said you wanted X, Y, Z? Well, that's or Z if you're in the US, that's exactly what I do. Uncle Bob, the $50 game, where to find strategy sessions, we'll talk about in a little bit. All right, I know that's a lot of little bits and pieces. Take 1 minute, jot down your favorite aha from that, just so that you have time to consolidate. And how are you going to implement it? Take 1 minute, jot it down. Okay, let's hear from, just finishing up that sentence, taking it to a place where you can come back to it at a later time. And just tie a little bow, a little consolidation around this piece so we can move on to the next training piece. Let's hear from one or two of you. What was your favorite part? How are you going to implement it? Yeah, Jamie.
I am reminded, I'm going to ask, so what, more often. I've been struggling today with my drip marketing campaign. I just get stuck on words. And flow, and so what would probably really help me finish that.
Thank you. Absolutely. And that's the, you know, going to online and further away, and we haven't even got there yet, but every single piece, you'll find applications all the way along the line for that other piece, right? I think about Marnie, it's like, oh my goodness, I got the key to my course, right? Thank you, Jamie. Love that. Let's hear from one more of you. What's the piece that you loved the most? Where's your aha, and how are you going to apply it? One more of you. And if you're not sure, just go ahead, raise your hand. I'm starting to trust you and your own words and your own thought process too. Yeah, Yvonne, thank you.
I just wrote down, ask questions, listen, hold space.
I love that. Isn't that the heart of the strategy session? Ask questions, listen, hold space. There are whole levels of processes and things we can learn and nuances and so on. But sometimes we can get lost and lose the forest for the trees in learning details. And people, sometimes they memorize scripts and all this stuff. If we go into a conversation like that, world changing. It's about real live, real person, human communication. It's amazing how easily we forget that in all the stuff we think we're supposed to do. Thank you, Yvonne. Beautiful. All right. Anything else bursting to be said, without which we cannot go forward? Okay. All right. Mary Kay posted a question, and I just want to address this one. I'm going to address it just giving a fish here, Mary Kay, and if it doesn't give you enough of a fish, we'll take it a little bit deeper, but there's a very direct answer to this one. So Mary Kay says, my free gift is an e-guide, how to not mess up your horse. If I offer a talk and title it, how to not mess up your dressage test, it's for a dressage club, is it too much repetition to then offer them the free gift? The answers are always going to be in, like, if it's about speaking, the answers are right there in the pieces that we've trained on for speaking. And here it's in the, I would say the most important thing is in the PSPS. It doesn't matter to me so much what you call it, whether it's exactly even the right words, even though I've worked with words for over 25 years. It's like, what's the problem I'm solving for them with this? What's the problem that remains for them? And then how I name it, I'm not as worried about that. Like, does it sound like, if it is the same thing, then don't do the same thing. If it's not the same thing, then there must be a reason that once I've solved this problem, they still have a remaining problem, the answer to which is your free gift. And then the other piece that I would point you to on that 10 keys to great speaking is beginning with the end in mind. If what you want them to want at the end is how to not mess up your horse, what would have them wanting that? Start there, because that's where the whole talk is going to revolve around that. How I train, how I set it up is going to revolve around that, where I want them to go in the end. And then that will tell you whether it works or not. Is there an actual genuine problem that I'm solving? And then an actual problem that remains, and that will give you your answer to your question. All right. So then if you have a follow-up question, or if that's hopefully that's very, very clear. And yes, thank you for that. And yeah, go ahead, Jamie.
Well, it's making me spin. Can I ask a follow-up question to
it? Yeah, go ahead.
Like, I think of it, what I want to guide people to is needing my services. But I always start with their main problem is they don't have time to do it themselves. They don't make it a priority.
Okay, so I want to stop you right there. And yeah. Will you hold on to the rest of your question for a minute?
Yeah.
You gave me the perfect way to illustrate a deeper level of Uncle Bob. I gave you the 3-minute, not the 2-hour version. But you all know who Uncle Bob is now, right? And what that means, I need to know who the audience is. I need to know what the purpose is. And what I said a few minutes ago is that the purpose is a little more elusive than we think. We think we know, but ain't necessarily so. Well, the purpose is for him to send me the money. But, well, the purpose is for him to be invested in me and actually find that connection enough so that he wants to send the money. Do you know, like there's a more nuanced level of purpose of that conversation. And we often miss it. So when you said, I heard you say, the purpose of my talk is always to guide them to needing my services, I respectfully disagree. And that's that nuanced level of purpose. That's not it at all. It's too early on in the conversation. They don't know that they want that. That would be like saying, I want Uncle Bob to fall in love with me. No, I don't want that. He can't, we can't, it's too far down, right? I want them, they don't know that they need your services yet, but they might know that they need that free gift. And then once you've solved that problem in the free gift, it's like PS, 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 right? Then what's the next problem that they have? So for instance, if I say to them, let me illustrate that PS, 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 PS. Let's say I'm not having them come to strategy sessions in my talk, but instead I'm having them get my free e-guide, Anatomy of an Empowering Story. Problem is you want more sales and you need to know about stories. Solution is come to my talk and I'll teach you how to use story to create more sales, all right? And I'm gonna teach them stories, you know, stories everywhere. They're empowering, disempowering stories you can choose. The problem that remains is I didn't have time to teach you everything I needed. We only had 20 minutes here. The problem that remains is I haven't told you about the biggest, now that you get how important this is, I haven't taught you the biggest mistake that most entrepreneurs make and what to do about it. I haven't taught you how the very first step that you can take in order to find your own empowering story. I haven't taught you how to apply this in different, in multiple different areas of your business with examples and illustrations. We didn't have time. So I suggest you get this free gift. Do you see that I set it up differently to go to a different thing? I'm not asking them to need my services. I'm just saying, hey, this would help you. Then when they have that free gift, then it's another PS. Okay, now you got the free gift. Here's how a lot of people have used this. Here's how it works in a lot of areas. Here's the biggest mistake entrepreneurs make. But I can't tell you how to get past this mistake. You can hear it, but I don't know what it is for your company. Why don't we have a conversation? Right? One yes at a time. Really important with sales and with anything. You know, I'm not going to ask Dana when she was a little girl, okay, Dana, would you clean your room, get dressed, go go have breakfast, brush your teeth. She's going to blow up and not do anything. Hey, Dana, would you come sit at the table for a sec? Because we're just about to have breakfast. Much greater possibility she's going to do that. One yes at a time. So whatever was coming after that, I want to guide them to needing my services, is starting from that, what I would say with love, flawed premise. And one that Uncle Bob is designed to teach in the remedy to. So do you need the next part of it, or does that clear it up, Jamie?
No, I think that clears it up.
Thank you. There's more to Uncle Bob than meets the eye, but just know that's my basic training around audience and purpose. And purpose is not what we think it is. That couldn't, thank you for that, Mary Kay and Jamie, could not be a better illustration of that. We think the purpose is this, but it's actually not. We have to seek that purpose at a more nuanced level. Awesome. All right. Anything else bursting to be said without which we cannot go forward? Okay, great work. I love these questions. I love the level at which you're playing. The level of this class comes in at the level that you're playing, and you're playing at a high level. So I'm giving answers that correspond to that. Thank you so, so much. All right, my notes. So today, let me see. Actually, I want to read this to you because this is what this module is about. And again, we'll probably be completing this module as we have done at the beginning of next week's call, but we're going to go a deep part of the way today. So if our last module, Jamie, if you could mute, please. Thanks. Our last module is about sales. And do you remember those? Oh, I didn't even review those five magic words. See, it's right in the title, you know, of what I promise up there in the world. If you go look on the page about practical applications, and I tend to forget, because it's not even what I think of as a core, but it's listening to what people actually want, you know? Do you remember those five magic words?
How can I serve you?
Yeah, how can I help you? Or I like it even as eight words, even better. How do you think I can help you? It's a great way to open a strategy session call. So what made you invest your time to talk to me about your sales process today, to talk to me about your blank, whatever it is, to talk to me about your X today, right? And then they go, wow, this and that and that and that and that is wonderful in my life, Michelle, or Dottie, or Andrea, or Marnie, et cetera, right? Oh, here's all these wonderful things, because people don't want to talk about what's painful. That's wonderful. I'm so glad to hear about that. But tell me, you know, what is it that made you decide your time to invest your time to come talk to me? How do you think I can help you? Makes them name the pain in your area. You know, I don't know. Somebody told me I should talk to you. Great. Well, tell me. And we dig a little further. We ask more questions, right? So and how do you how do you think I can help you? We're going to get their language, pain in our area, hopefully. And the more informed they are, if they've got to see a video of us or we have a survey for them or whatever, the more informed they are, the more they'll be able to address that pain. If somebody has read Anatomy of an Empowering Story, they often come in going, man, I know I have disempowering stories everywhere and I don't know what to do about it. If they haven't read it, they'll say, I don't know, somebody told me to come talk to you, you know, and then some more work to do. So I have people get a little bit more informed and read Anatomy first, but you don't need that. If you haven't got that yet, we do that and a survey. Sometimes we have them watch a video. When we started, it was just like, hey, let's just talk. And we build those ways for them to be, have a more know, like, and trust before the conversation. If you don't have that yet, that's fine. All right, you start where you are. All right, for today, let me read this to you. Words to magnetize your ideal client. This is module 5. At a certain point, buyer personas, psychographics, and ideal client avatars. If you've heard those words before, even one of them, raise your hand. Yeah, we know about those, right? At a certain point, buyer personas, psychographics, ideal client avatars become more frustrating than helpful. If you've ever found that ever, it's like, wow, I got to find who my ideal client is, but I don't know how to do that. And, you know, maybe it's this one, but now I got to change it. If you've ever had an issue in and around your ideal client, how to name them, raise your hand. I have. And even in the transition from one to another. Yeah, thank you for that honesty, all right? Do your dream clients exist in real life? Where do you find them? Stop beating the bushes and shift to this fantastically uplifting and empowering way to attract the right people right to you. This is what we're doing in this next segment of the call. So in module 5, words to magnetize your ideal client, here's what we're at for these next for the rest of the call. Get great at marketing to your ideal client without feeling like you're leaving everyone else in the lurch. If I don't answer this question by the end of today, remind me about it at the beginning of next call, right? Learn 10 little known ways to find people who need you right under your nose. Find out what it means to meet clients where they're at and guide them graciously through the buying process, right? So that's what our aim is today. I'm just taking a breath for one second, because just like with Uncle Bob, there's so much I want to share with you. And I'm looking for the easiest entry road in for us to understand this. So I want to start here. If you've heard of demographics and psychographics, raise your hand. Just want to see how much the background you guys have. All right, all the hands are raised that I could see. So demographics, that's this person's this old, they live in this place, they're this gender and so on. Helpful to a point. But look at you. Do you all live in the same place? Are you all the same age? You know, like, just not, you know, I work obviously more with women. That's part of demographic. I know that, right? But still, it doesn't tell us too much. Psychographic tells us a little bit more. You know, what do they love to read? What psychographic, right? Like, what do they love to read? Where do they love to hang out? So not just the stats about who that person is that I can serve, but who they are as a person, right? So psychographics more important than demographics to understand who that person is. Make sense? And sometimes the demographics we think of is, okay, well, it's got to be somebody who's older than 40. Let's say we had that as part of our demographics. Well, sometimes if you ask, why do you think you want somebody older than 40? Well, because they've lived some life experience, because they want the deeper answers, because, you know, oh, psychographics. So sometimes we're naming that, but that's actually not even what we want. We're looking at, what if we found a 20-year-old who fits that bill? That could work, right? So demographics, psychographics, and there's something much deeper than that. A real, actual, live person. Somebody with an eyes, two eyes, a nose, and a mouth. Who's my ideal client? Not my sort of, kind of, not this group of people who are 40 and up or whatever it is. Not the even these people who hang out at Starbucks rather than, if you're in Canada, Tim Hortons, and they read the Globe and Mail, not whatever, or they like Deepak Chopra, and they don't, you know, they support a Biden, not Trump, or vice versa. You know what I mean? Like, beyond all that stuff, that real person, who is it that I most want to serve? And the more specific I can be about that, the more I can go and find them. I want to start with the baseline, so that we are all on the same page about this. Because sometimes it's like, well, but I just want to, my work could be for everybody. When I first left university, I fell into that. I just thought, well, this would help everybody. Then nobody can hear. Nobody can hear. I can't find the words to say it. Think Uncle Bob. What words would I say to Uncle Bob? Well, let's say I was lucky enough to have an Aunt Sue, who also was really wealthy and who loved me to bits. And she's a veterinarian, and he hates veterinarians. Aren't I going to say completely different words to the two of them if I actually care about that live human being in front of me? If I try to reach everybody, my words are all generic. I have nothing to say, and I can't reach the person I meant to reach. So that's the why for finding my ideal client in the first place. Besides ideal clients, they're the ones who are the most fun to work with. They're the ones who get it. They're the ones that I resonate with. They're the ones that I want to find. And when I have my words targeting them, I don't like that, sounds military. When I have my words addressed to them, it's not that other people can't listen in. I work mostly with women, but I also work with some really amazing men. And I address women, but the men who are women friendly, the men who think that it's not, who aren't militaristic, the men, you know, because that's not my style of teaching, the men who want to be in relationship, the men who, you know, they are also going to listen in at the edges and come on in when they choose to too. I'm already answering that question, that I don't need to exclude them. I have very specific language. It's kind of like if I'm trying to talk to my dad and my daughter at the same time, they're very different people. I'm going to use very different words. But if I say, hey, Dana, come sit down for a second. I know we're going to have dinner, but hey, I'll give you a minute to tell me about your rat surgery yesterday, even though it kind of makes my stomach turn, you know? It's actually true. She did rat surgery all day yesterday. Oh goodness, so not me, right? So give it, like, we're always going to want to talk to one person. In this case, I'm talking to my daughter. I'm talking about something that will get her to the table. She did. She told me a lot about her rat surgery last night. Oh my goodness, my stomach did turn, you know? But that interests her. I'm interested in her coming so that she'll come and eat. But I end up talking to her about rat surgery because that's going to get her to the table, right? And again, not disingenuous. Hey, I'll give you, I'm still about, you know, we're going to eat dinner, but hey, I'll give you those that minute to tell me about your rat surgery. She'll come running. And let's say my dad's in the room too. I haven't called to him specifically at all. Because if I tried to call to him and to her at the same time, I don't have the specific words that are going to get my ideal client, that person, Dana, at the table. Because I'm just going to say, hey, dinner's ready. That's all I can say if I'm just trying to address everybody. It's not as compelling. But think, if my dad's in the room, he might go, you know, your stomach's going to turn and she's going to talk about, oh, that's really, you know, but I want to hear too. Doesn't exclude him. It's okay. But I'm not going to call to him specifically. I'm going to call to the person that I want at the table. That's my ideal client. So I didn't know I was going to give you this analogy, but if that made sense to you, I can't call my dad and my daughter at the same time. I can't call Aunt Sue and Uncle Bob at the same time. So I'm gonna choose the one that I really, really want to call, but I haven't excluded another person. They can come to the table too if they want to, but I'm still gonna call specifically to my daughter, for instance. If you got that, raise your hand. Did I find the words to say it? Thank you, awesome, okay, good. Then we have the grounds to think about, well, how do I call to that person then? Well, first, remember Uncle Bob. That story about Uncle Bob is going to get you a big part of the way there, all right? But I want to give you 10 ways to find those words, 10 ways to both discover the ideal client and discover your transformation at the same time. And I want to remind you of the weirdness of the way that I'm teaching this. Most people put ideal client right up front. If you want to have a business, okay, let's endlessly think about your ideal client. I don't do that because I don't want you so fixated on that you don't get out there and talk to people. Right? How are you going to find them? By talking to a whole bunch of people. Let's start with networking. Go out there and just try it out. Peak Potentials, when I studied there, one of their foundational teachings was ready, fire, aim. Did y'all hear that? Ready, fire, aim. Ready, fire. Oh, wait, I was a little bit too far to the left. Okay, I'm going to move to the right. Because sometimes as companies, we spend it like ready, aim. Okay, am I too far to the left? And we never actually be on the court. We never have to actually take the shot. I'm just out there. I'm chatting with people. I'm making offers. And then once I'm doing that, now I can start to think about who my ideal client is. I've talked to this person. I've talked to that person. I already know something about it because that person was way more interesting to talk to than that person. I liked helping that person more than I liked helping this person. Now let's craft the ideal client when we're already on the court. If that makes sense to you, I think that's the best I've ever articulated that. Raise your hand. Did you get that? Yay. Thank you. So we don't endlessly play on our piece of paper all alone for a year. If you've done that before, you've witnessed that before, oh man, it's so painful to me. Please don't do that. Out on the court talking to actual real people. All right. But now we know, we've been out there networking, we've given our talk, even if it's to our parents, whatever it is, right? And we get into strategy session conversations. And we have something that we think we want to offer. If you're not sure what to offer, if you're just beginning, what you have to offer is your own yourself and your time about something that you're good at. All right. So just like, let's start it there. All right. So how do I find those ideal clients right under my nose? I know that I want them. The first thing that I do, one thing I can do is, well, figure out what my offer is. Figure out what's my transformation. How is it that I even want to help people, right? And let me just give you one entry road into that. So figure out what the transformation is. How is it that I want to serve people? Well, if you're just beginning, well, what is it that matters to you? What pushes your buttons? You know, what you know, like when somebody does that, it drives me crazy. When people, you know, litter everywhere. I can't stand that. They're not taking care of the earth. They're not caring about other people. It's like, oh, that gives me clues about things that matter to me and where I should build my company. That's a general idea, but you might be able to do that in a specific part of your company, right? What pushes your buttons and what do you love? It's like, you know, when Biden was talking yesterday, I actually canceled, I'm Canadian, but I canceled a team meeting to watch. And when he was talking about unity, you know, and people coming together to work together, I had like the tears were streaming down my face. Clearly, people being connected, connectedness is one of my core values, right? So something about helping people connect, and you can see this, it's like words that help people connect is something about how I help people, right? So what's your transformation? Figure it out, you know, and one of the ways you can figure that out is, you know, who do you already love to serve? Who are you already helping? And how are you helping them? So again, if you're just beginning your company, you're probably already doing this. You're volunteering with people. It's that thing you do. People always call you to help out in that area. That's a good place to look, right? And sometimes that's just a for people who are further along in your company. Like, and again, it's don't measure your beginning to somebody else's middle, right? Like my mentor Sandra Yancey teaches, right? Or somebody else's end, right? If you're already well engaged in your company, just like look more about, you know, where do you, inside, within your company, what pushes your buttons? What do you love? Look for the push and pull inside you and it will help you refine, you know, that's one way into what your transformation is. It's looking at what really matters to you. Who are you already serving? How are you helping them? And that's the transformation, is the way that you're helping them, right? I'm not doing a deep dive into this because the other pieces will help us find that, right? So how am I going to find my ideal clients when I know what it is that I offer? Well, I'm going to look for people who want that, right? So simple that we miss it. I help people find stories to sell. Well, who am I looking for? Somebody who wants that, right? Okay. How do I find those ideal clients under my nose? Well, I have to know who they are and what my transformation is, right? So number one, find out what your offer is. Find out what your transformation is. What is it? What changes in people when you work with them, okay? So how do I find that person I can help? This is number two, to find ideal clients under your nose. When you add all these up together, you're going to be able to find them so much more easily, all right? How do I find those ideal clients under my nose? Number one, I figure out what it is, what's my transformation? I'm going to go find people who want that. Number two, well, who is my ideal client? If I'm going to find ideal clients under my nose, I want to know who my ideal client is. Sometimes, point number two, it's an earlier version of myself. That person is an earlier version of myself. There have been such openings with clients with this, I can't even tell you. I don't know what to say, what words to find to attract that person. Remember an earlier version of yourself, and maybe it was just yesterday. Maybe it was 10 years ago. It's not for everybody. I'm seeing Jamie, and I'm like, oh, right, you know? If you don't know what to say to that person, what would you say to yourself? So Jamie was nodding, right? Oh, right. It was an earlier version of me. What did that earlier version of you want? What did she need? How did she think? You want to know her like we want to know Uncle Bob. And it's easy because you already were her, you know? How did she think? What mattered to her? The things that matter to you now might not be the words that would convince you now. Wouldn't be the words that would convince her. She wouldn't care. She's not there yet. What does she care about? So investigate an earlier version of you. Listen to your earlier self. That's often what they want and need. And then once you can articulate that, you might journal about that. So number one, you can journal about what's my transformation, right? Number two, you can journal about that too, you know? What is that earlier version of me? And then what are the words that she would need to hear to step forward? And then I go find people who have that. It's like, she was obsessed with X. She didn't even know about why. And I'll start to see that person out there in the world. Number three, how have you helped people before? I mentioned this a little bit under offer and transformation, right? So one, I'm going to figure out how I even help people. What's the transformation? Two, I'm going to think about an earlier version of me that so often applies. Number three, how have you helped people before? I didn't separate these out really nicely because I started talking about it under number one. See, they're all connected, right? How have you helped people before? I mentioned it before, that thing that you do, people ask you about it, right? Other ways that you've helped former clients or things you've volunteered with. It's that person who's like that person. That's who you're looking for. Oh, I helped so-and-so and that was really fun and that was really awesome. Well, that's the person you're looking for. And this is so obvious that we miss it. If you get that, raise your hand. It's sitting right in front of you. That's why I say finding ideal clients right under your nose. This is both not rocket science and it is revolutionary. Each one of these has transformed lives, I promise, right? So knowing how you helped people before. That's number three. Number four is like a nuanced or is like an addition to number three, listening to your clients or the people you've helped. Number one is, well, what is my transformation anyway? Number two is finding an earlier version of me. Number three is, well, how have I helped people before? Let me go look for them. Number four is, well, once I think about who I've helped, go listen to them. What do they say it's about? Right? What do they say it's about? One of the things I sometimes say is one of the things we find is that your words matter. Your words matter. It's part of what we're learning here, right? Not only that, when you understand how much your words matter, you start to get that you matter. Isn't that right? Isn't that true that that's a big part of what we're learning here? Do you want to know how I know that and how I know to say those words? Yeah, I can use her name because that's what my client Tracy told me many years ago. Listen to what they say. She told me that. What do they say it's about? And you can listen to them in multiple different ways. I have you sharing your ahas all the time. There's an accumulation over years of listening to ahas because that's what you're hearing about what matters here. And I'm hearing it over and over and over again. Ask them for their ahas. Every time you interact with a client, I ask for 3 ahas when I do a private session. When they ask questions on calls, what are they asking about? Listen to them. Find ways to have them ask questions, right? And have different segments of your audience ask questions. As you listen to them, it will help you see both the transformation you provide and who those people are because of what they talk about what matters to them, all right? So, find out what your transformation is. 1, 2, find an earlier version of you. 3, who have you helped before? How have you helped before? 4, listen to those people that you've helped. 5, this is again related to 4, interview your clients. If you don't have clients, people you've volunteered with, the way you help people, actually interview them. Take 10 people that I just got this tip last week. I've never done it in this systematic way before, but it's an ingenious idea. That I want to use. I've done other versions of this before. Interview 10 people that you've worked with that you love. What do they say? So actually explicitly ask them, what do they say the transformation is? So not just in their ahas when they don't know you're asking that, go ask them explicitly, right? Why are they walking this path with you? What do they actually want? What are they receiving? So go and interview them and see what it is that they're getting out of it. And then always there's an interaction between the transformation you offer and the people you're serving. You can start from either one. What's the transformation I offer? It's whatever those people say that it is. Who am I looking for? I'm looking for the people who want that transformation. And again, it's so simple that we miss it, right? So go and interview them. 6. Then using these different techniques, like going and investigating in this way. Oh, I missed 5. This I learned from a wonderful man named Dave Albano. I said, Dave, can I teach people this? He said, yeah, just give me credit. I'm like, of course, I always do. Right? Well, always give credit where credit is due. This was ingenious. I learned this years ago. I'm like, oh my goodness, this is company changing for me. How do you find your ideal client? I want you to draw a circle on your page right now and write down people who love working with me. Draw another circle and it's going to overlap with that first circle. See, I'm just like drawing circles, messy circles on my page. People I love working with. That's the second circle. Now a third circle, make all 3 circles overlap. Okay, like this. What do they call that? Venn diagram or something, right? In that third circle, put people who pay me the most. Right? People who love working with me, make a list, take the time, get on a connection call with one of your, one of the people in this class. Make a list, people who love working with me. Make another list, people I love working with. Make another list, people who pay me the most. This is your sweet spot right here in the middle. That's your ideal client. I love working with them. They love working with me. They pay me the most. That's your sweet spot. It's going to limit, I love working with this person and they can't stand it, or vice versa. I've always loved working with them. They've never, ever paid me. This person pays me a lot of money and I can't stand working with them, right? It's your sweet spot. Again, so obvious, but we miss it. Now go find more people like that, right? Taking the time to do this work is gold for your company. 6, know your ideal client. The way J.K. Rowling knows Harry Potter. Think like a novelist. Think like a screenwriter, not like a marketer or a salesperson. Envision them. See them in 3 dimensions. You know about people. If I had you describe your daughter or your lover or your friend, wouldn't you say more things about them than all that marketing speak? I love the way my daughter's hair smells, you know? She had a nosebleed this morning. I love that part about her. She's got a bleeding disorder, but I love that about her too, you know? And the tenderness that that's brought in her heart for people within it. Do you get what I'm like, how I'm speaking differently? Novelists know people that way. We know more about Harry Potter than Harry Potter himself does. Think like a creative, envision, know that you know more about them than you think, all right? Let me see, we're already at the hour. So we got to number 6. I'll do 7, 8, 9, and 10 at the beginning of the call next time, including where do we even find these strategy sessions? What are the tactical ways that we can find them on the court? And then how do we translate this to online and all the other places we want to use our words? So we've got a lot that we're going to get to on our next and final call for practical applications. I want to end here so that we have time for those who are able to stay. You know that I'm doing that for multiple reasons now, right? I really do want to hear from you, and it helps me build my company. And I really, really want to know. I want to know who you are and what matters to you. And one inspired action. So this doesn't stay as head knowledge. Let me just play endlessly around my ideal client. No, go out there and go talk to someone. Go find them and get in a conversation with them. And if they're not perfect, we'll learn how and why, and we'll get a better sense of who that ideal client is by being on the court. All right. So one inspired action. And you're up in my upper left-hand corner, you'll begin. And if you have to leave, go ahead and post it on the Facebook page. We'd love to, you know, hear from each and every one of you.
I'm going back when, I forget who said it, Jamie, I think, I don't know. Ask questions, listen, and most importantly, hold space for me. Mm-hmm. That was a really good thing for me to hear today.
Thank you. Beautiful. Thank that you. Was Yvonne.
That was Yvonne. Beautiful.
Yvonne. Yeah, that did something for me. Like I can use that when I go out to the barn and my programs are all running and I'm hanging out and there's around. I can use that to help me to get beautiful. To know them better, beautiful. Like you said.
Echoing. So
echoing. So I'll try not to say much.
Your inspired action.
Your inspired action.
To use that with the parents in my barn or the children, that you really listen, ask questions, hold space.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes.
Yes.
And if you could mute. Dottie, one aha, one inspired action. Love that, Anne. That's beautiful. Dottie.
I really loved how you went in depth about knowing their needs instead of first assuming that you know that your work would help them. You ask.
Yes. Yes. So often when people know that I work with story, they think it's all about my story. It's the more and more we learn, the more we know, no, it's that person's story. It's that person's story. Thank you, Dottie. Yes, thank you for underlining that. And your inspired action?
My inspired action is to do the Q-tips.
Yes.
Computer.
Isn't that great? Isn't that fun? I love it. Thank you. Thank you for any one detail from today's call. It's going to be life changing when we actually implement it. Thank you, Dottie. Love that. Marnie, you're up next.
Well, my aha was the aha. That concept of using ahas to not just understand where they're at in their learning, but also what's important to them and what it is that they're seeking. That made really good sense to me because I come from a teaching background and I can understand, when I've done that, that's worked really well. But the whole conversation around this ideal client has been something that has stymied me for the last year, that people kept trying to impose those demographics on me. And I was kind of going, but they don't fit that demographic mold. But as soon as you start talking about the other ways of defining it and what's important to them, I went, oh, okay, now I know who my ideal clients are. Much better.
Fantastic. And Marnie, how long have you been learning about your ideal client elsewhere?
Oh, 2 years.
2 years. After 2 years, and here it is, like, now I've got it. Marnie, fantastic. Thank you. That makes my day.
Fantastic. So my inspired action is to go back and do the analysis of what my ideal client is. And part of that is to really get clear on that transformation. You know, my company is called Transform the Journey, and I'm not sure that I can define what that transformation is 100%, closer and closer every day. So to really work on that is critical.
Right. I love that. Thank you. And when we start to see how the transformation and the ideal client work together, it's like, what's a transformation? What do I really want for that person? What I want for that person? Oh, that's different. It's like, oh, it's something that I actually want for them to experience because it changes their world. It's that thing. Yes, thank you. Beautiful. Yes, yes, yes. Mary Kay.
How start with the end in mind and how it could fit this talk.
Yes, beautiful. Thank you for hearing. Yes, yes, yes.
I mean, and how it can go from one talk to another.
Yes. So we solve this problem and then we solve this next problem. And entrepreneurs, that's what we do. We solve problems for the investment. Somebody makes an investment and we help them solve problems. They solve their problems with our help. Yes, yes, and yes. Beautiful. Thank you. And it's like this problem, and then the next one is this one, and the next one is this one. And that's the buyer's journey, right? Beautiful. And then your inspired action, Mary Kay.
Is to stick with self-care.
Mm-hmm. Huge. That was huge for me today. And you know what? I didn't cancel a meeting this morning. My team told me to cancel the meeting because they're like, Michelle, you need to take care of yourself. So taking some time off this morning, because to find the words to say it, if we're not taking care of ourselves, how are we going to be present? How are we going to find those words? How are we going to listen to another soul? So all about that. I'm all over that. Yes. Thank you, Mary Kay. Beautiful. And you know, I'm always perfect about self-care. No, but do I remember to then course correct and come back to it. Love it. Thank you. Fantastic work, everybody, today. Excellent work. Can't wait to see you next week for our last call in the series, Practical Applications. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye for now.